never rests.
A puny colors in the sky. What a thrilling time to be alive.
What is up, everybody? It is the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Rowe from Dogs HQ. He's Palmer Toms, also from Dogs HQ. Georgia, Kentucky. We're going to get into it, man. I'm excited. I'm excited about Georgia, Kentucky. The Bulldogs get to open SEC play. We got our first official availability report. I see that Palmer has put availability in the thing here because he wanted to make sure I didn't say injury report. Palmer cursed me out about that last night. He started texting me and he told me how big of an idiot I was for putting injury report on there instead of availability report.
I just didn't want Greg Sankey and Chuck Dunlap and the SEC coming to find us, Jake. That they seem pretty serious. It's an availability report, and if it was an injury report, there'd be injuries listed.
Dude, how nuts would it be if Greg Sankey knocked on your door and you were like, "What?" He goes, "It just means more." You know, like he's just standing there. What a random thing to think about on a Thursday morning. But yeah, okay, it is an availability report. We're gonna get to that. We got prize picks. We've got NFHS, some high school games going on tonight. Can't wait. Not tonight. There probably are some tonight, but tomorrow night, Friday night. Georgia-Kentucky preview. We got players to watch. We got matchups, all of that stuff. And then we're going to predict the game here at the end and get to all that. So, Palmer, let's get into this first official availability report. It's a mouthful. Any surprise? It's a lot shorter than I thought it was going to be. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that was the first thing that took me by surprise is just how short Georgia's was. And you compare it to Kentucky's, whose is pretty lengthy. Kirby got out in front of it and said, "Hey, I'm not in charge of this. Ron Corson is in charge of this." So he's got some plausible deniability there. Georgia has five guys on there. Roger Robinson, Michael Williams, Warren Brinson, Jordan Hall, Xavier McLeod. The first thing that stands out to me is that four of those come from the defensive line, defensive front. And so that's something that we've known. And I think that it's going to be very interesting when Georgia gets those guys back. I was surprised that Nasir Johnson, another defensive lineman, wasn't on there in any capacity. I'm interested to see. I think we will see Warren Brinson this week. He was listed as, questionable. Jordan Hall and Xavier McLeod also with that designation. Michael Williams, doubtful. Roger Robinson, out. And I think that adds up with what we've kind of expected. In terms of the designations, those weren't unexpected, but I think the length was a little bit unexpected.
Yeah, and listen, Kirby leaving off guys that we know are injured, but we also know are not going to play. Marcus Harrison, Nasir Johnson, more than likely. I mean, I guess he might be a little bit closer to the field, but I doubt it. Hasn't really played any meaningful snaps this year. It's kind of a difference in philosophy there because you look at Kentucky. Kentucky has a very long list. Huh?
Chris Jones, another one.
Right, Chris Jones. Yeah, that's another one. So, but Kentucky has a very long list. And there are a lot of guys. I was going through it now. I have a story posted over at Dogs HQ. We kind of have a look at Kentucky's injury situation. There are some guys on that list that are kind of notable. But for the most part, it's just a lot of freshmen. It's a lot of young guys that I think that they could probably leave off that list if they wanted to. So it's just really interesting kind of to see the different philosophies there because we know Chris Jones is going to play. He's too dinged up to play. Marcus Harrison, same way. Nasir Johnson's probably not going to be out. I think Kirby hinted at probably a little bit of a dislocation there. Might have been a kneecap. For all we know, it's going to look like a knee. So we'll see kind of how things go there. But, another one's going to come out today. Another one's going to come out Friday. And then another one's going to come out 90 minutes before the game on Saturday. So you'll get several more looks at this thing. And we'll be putting up stories on it and things like that. I mean, listen, it's the information we get. It's the on-the-record information we get, and that's what we share. So that's kind of where that's at. Anything else to add on the injury report, Palmer, before we move on?
No, I think, the bye week comes up at a great time for Georgia with those defensive linemen, you know, being able to get those guys back potentially before they play Alabama. And, you know, it's interesting this week, you look at the travel roster and the 74 that are going to be able to go, and it's not easy to predict which defensive linemen are going to make that trip. You know, I had 8 on mine. If they find a way, I think that they probably will find a way for Mykael Williams to go, whether that's, you know, with a waiver or something, or they use one of the 74 spots. But, you know, we're talking about 8 healthy defensive linemen that I have projected to make the trip. You were talking about maybe 10 with 4 guys that aren't healthy now being able to be in that healthy mix next week or 2 weeks from now when they take on Alabama. And that's going to be interesting to follow here as that big game awaits.
Yeah, it is. And I will say, you know, not going to get into it, but I do think we can add a name to your travel roster on the defensive line. Got a little scoop of that over at Dogs HQ. Maybe a guy getting healthy at the right time. All right. Hey, listen, Kentucky, Georgia, preview. Palmer, listen, I kind of wanted to jump into this and get to Prize Picks at the same time. And so let's go ahead and look at Prize Picks here. Promo code DAWGS, DAWGS. And I want my man Palmer to get us some Prize Picks over here. We've been talking about these this morning. We've been running over this. They've got a special. Listen, if you're watching this live, you need to jump on this right now. Because how much time's left, Palmer, on this deal with our Carson Beck deal?
21 minutes and 2 hours. So what? I don't want to do quick math here. That's 180 minutes, 140 yeah. minutes, 140 minutes. See, yeah. Quick math was bad for me there.
Yeah, 180 minutes. That's 3 hours. 140 minutes there to jump in on that. I mean, you don't have much time left. So jump in there, get that over. You can pick the over on 212.5 passing yards. Not much of a multiplier on that, but it's a good pickup there. It's a good kind of a – feels like an easy win. Feels like an easy win to me.
But if you want to play Carson on his normal line, they've got a projection there as well.
And 249.5, I believe.
Yeah, 249.5 is their actual projection. But this is something that I dove into a little bit this week, is that you can – do the goblins and devils, and you know, you can adjust the projections a little bit and make the payouts a little bit friendlier if you think that Carson's really going to have a big day, or if you know you think it could be a shorter day for Carson and you want a little bit more safety, you can adjust those as well in some of these cases.
Awesome, that's great. Yeah, I didn't know you could toggle those, but I did notice the little, you know, the different things they got going on. All right, so let's get to some more Georgia picks. We got that Carson one in. We definitely want to get 2 more in. Palmer, you got that? Do you have the stomach for a 4-man deal for a 4-man play this week, or are you just 3-man guy?
So one thing, and I know both of us took a look at this one, kicking points.
Yeah,
this one, Jake, you said it this week. It could get ugly. It could be a rock fight. Although your projection does not have it being a rock fight, you like the less on 7.5 kicking points for Peyton Woodring. I like more, you know, with the potential that Georgia.
Is that what I sent you? Did I send you less?
I think you did.
Okay. I don't think I took less on my own.
I don't know. I think you sent me less.
Move forward though, because I'm interested in what you, let's see. Yeah, well, I did take less on that one. Good thing I canceled it and I went back and redid it. That photo is not – that I sent you is not what I did. But, all right, listen, this is just enthralling stuff here. But, all right, so, yeah, Carson Beck plus the 2 – I do like Peyton Woodring at 7.5, over 7.5, because I feel like Georgia's either going to be kind of in this game where they kick a few field goals and they score like 24-27, or they're in the end zone – several times and they score 45.
Yep.
And you know, they get really close, you know, just with the PATs. So I like Peyton Woodring on that over as well. I think those are two good ones. What's the payout on that for 20? 20 to win 50 ain't bad.
20 to win 50. I think you would have to add in a separate player from a different game though, if I'm not mistaken. And Jake, you had one from another game that you liked?
Yeah, dude, I think there's the bank of Kyron Lacy right now at LSU. I prize picked him in the first game of the season with kind of a little side deal I had going on, and I think he had it in the first quarter. It was unbelievable. It was I was puffing a cigar on a you know raking in the pot there. You know, through the first quarter, he was my last leg that week. I want to say, yeah, he was. And man, just came through for me, dude.
Do you feel confident enough to bump it up to 99.5?
And they play
South Carolina College Game Day.
At South Carolina,
Columbia, the hottest place on earth.
What's the change here? I wonder.
20 to win 160.
Ooh, I love those 8-1s, Palmer. I love those 8-1s. Yeah, I think so. You know, I feel amazing about kind of the neutral line there. But yeah, I mean, I think over 100's very, very doable for Kyron Lacy.
All right, do we want to add in one more Georgia one? I know you were looking at Trevor Etienne. I was looking at Oscar Delp.
Yeah, I like the Trevor Etienne over 13.5 passing yards, receiving yards. Like, I feel like that's one solid check down from Carson Beck, you know, and that's done. I really like Trevor Etienne over 13.5 receiving yards.
Now, do you like over 24.5?
I kind of do. I kind of do.
Let's do it. 20 to win 370.
Okay.
On Carson Beck with our discounted play here, 212.5 more. Peyton Woodring, 7.5 more kicking points. Kyron Lacy over to hit 100 yards or more, and Trevor Etienne 25 more.
I like it. I like it. And that's let's lock it in, get it where we need to go.
We're in.
All right. So listen, Prize Picks, it's skill based. It's awesome. It's daily fantasy. It's phenomenal. And you can check it out in Major League Baseball. You can do NFL. You can do college football. You can do hockey. You can do anything you want to do, basically. And it's all right there at your fingertips. It's legal in the state of Georgia and most surrounding states. And these guys are awesome. Use the promo code Dogs Palmer, and what do they get?
When you play, it is $50 on your first play of $5.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you get that added promotional bonus there. Get a little money to play with, a little money to scoot around, and see what you can do over at Prize Picks, because, listen, it's a lot of fun. I've really gotten into it a lot more this year than last year, and it's fun to get in there and just play around and see what things happen. I usually spend about 20 minutes on it. Kind of late in the week, just clicking around and seeing what kind of deals I can cook up and maybe what kind of, and listen, it's been pretty successful over on the little account we set up with them last year, and we have a lot of fun with it. All right. So Palmer, let's spin this into players that we are watching against Kentucky, because I want to go somebody outside of what we talked about in Prize Picks there, but is there anybody kind of standing out to you offensively or defensively? Let's don't go further than two guys here that you think can stand out in this matchup, can kind of get something done over in the Bluegrass State.
Yeah. You know, there's a couple that I would keep an eye on. Somebody that I'm, you know, watching would be Tyrion Ingram Dawkins. You know, that's somebody that had a really big outing last week against Tennessee Tech, had 3 tackles for loss, career high 4 tackles. Not surprisingly, a career high 3 tackles for loss. I mean, again, with Georgia being without Mykel Williams, you know, in all likelihood, I think that he is continuing to play really well. I think that this is a Kentucky offense that really likes to run the ball. You know, whether that's going to be Brock Vandegrift or the running backs that they've got in the Wildcat backfield there. And so, you know, and I also think that Georgia's going to try to get some pressure on Brock, and force some bad decisions. So, you know, I think that those edges is a position to watch. And, you know, Tyrion Ingram Dawkins is somebody that I'm keeping an eye on.
I like that one because I felt like he played really well in that first game too, but he just kind of came up with the numbers last week. Mm-hmm. I want to say South Carolina had 11 tackles for loss.
Yeah. I mean, there was it was like 20 combined between the two teams in that game.
I think it was 21 combined between the two teams. I know South Carolina, I know Kentucky had 10, and I think South Carolina had 11. against Kentucky. And Kentucky is also without, well, he's doubtful right now. Jaeger Burton, a guy that has a 27-game streak of starts on the line at left guard. I know he's probably not a Kentucky fan favorite. I think he got a bad penalty against Georgia last year in that blowout loss. He and Deion Walker both did. I think that's another factor.
There were 24 tackles for loss. Kentucky had 13. South Carolina had 11.
Oh, wow. Kentucky had 13 against them?
13.
I thought they had 10.
13. Zion Childress had 3 solo. 3 alone.
Yeah, Zion Childress is a safety, too. So
Jamon had 2.5.
I think so. A guy that I really like in this game, I've kind of bounced back and forth between two receivers in this game. Because, listen, I'm looking at the weather, right? And I think we've all kind of, tried to keep an eye on it because, it's probably going to swing through here on top of us here in just a little bit and do all that stuff. But ultimately, you look at the game, you're kind of looking at the hourly. It is supposed to kind of rain some that morning, and be be very comfortable. But I'm not seeing the rain's supposed to be out of there. It looks like by, midday tomorrow. I think this is going to be a pretty normal game from
it
a game.
It could be a slick surface though.
Huh? But the ball's not going to be soaking wet. And right. That's the big thing. Like, I'm not really worried about the surface. I think that sometimes when those surfaces, they're not expecting, 6 inches of rain and a half day or anything like that. They're expecting some rain. I mean, I'm looking at the hourly here and what they're kind of expecting there. And it's just supposed to rain for a few hours on Friday as of right now, things can change. But I think this is going to be a fairly normal SEC game plan for Georgia. And listen, that in and of itself, doesn't really mean that Georgia's going to go in there and air it out. The last two times Georgia's been there, it's been extremely cold and extremely and very windy, especially in 2022. It was very windy. Mm-hmm. And Georgia just kind of was content to go in there and play defense. And that's with Will Levis at quarterback. And God knows how awful he was in college. He got drafted high and he's doing some pretty good things in the NFL, but God, he was terrible.
Not on Sunday.
Yeah, not this past Sunday. But he struggled in that game, and Georgia just kind of let the air out of it. And then in 2020, Georgia just didn't have George Pickens, and they had some pieces missing on offense.
They wanted to get out of there. It was exactly. Halloween. Kirby wanted to go trick or treat.
Yeah, it was. But that was a cool game too, and I remember that one well. So I think this is going to be a game where Georgia's going to have some offensive success. I just don't think it's going to be consistent because I think Kentucky's got its back against the wall and it's going to kind of do some things and take some chances to that sometimes is going to just put Georgia behind the sticks and they're going to have to punt the football some. But I do think that to get back to my original point, which has taken me forever, and I do apologize to everyone, I do think that Georgia is going to have a receiver have a big game. And that's because I look at how Kentucky's safeties and defensive backs like to come up and play in the box. I think they're very aggressive. And I went back and forth between the two, but I'm going to stick with the guy that's been the guy the last two games, and that's Arian Smith. I think that they're going to heavy play action at some point, a little double action or something, and get Arian Smith over the top. I think Smith continues to kind of pace Georgia in the receiving department.
Well, and that over the top play is where you can get it quickly for Arian. That he's got that deep ball potential that I don't know is there for it's there, but it's obviously there for Arian Smith. We've seen it time and time again. Jake,
and they've also shown the ability. I don't know how they do it, but they've also shown the ability to move that Z receiver position around with Ladd, with Arian. You've seen it with other guys where they kind of move it around and they're able to create those double move matchups that you like. And they're able to create kind of some of those clear out matchups that you like, where you can kind of get them open on deep over routes, post routes, stuff that kind of crosses up the coverage. Bobo does a really good job with that position of scheming it wide open down the field. Whereas the X receiver position seems like hard work. Like you gotta work and separate on your own, big guy.
Jake, I'm going to pick our two Kentucky players that we're watching, and I think it's two that Georgia fans will be watching. Brock Vandegrift, Jamon Dumas Johnson, the two Georgia transfers. What are your expectations for them in this outing?
Man, I hope Brock plays better than last week. The funny thing about this is I've never shaken Brock Vandegrift's hand or had a conversation with him or anything. Same way with his dad. Like, I don't know his dad very well. You just hear so many good things about him, and Kirby's talked so glowingly about him. I don't think it's going to be great, man. I think this is a really tough matchup for him. I do think that like Georgia Tech last year, Kentucky's going to come in, run quarterback power, inverted veer, you know, some kind of stuff to stretch Georgia horizontally, but then the quarterback kind of has the ability to keep the ball downhill. So I think he'll probably have some success running the ball. I don't love the forecast for him, through the air, and that's with one of my favorite receivers in the country in Barry and Brown there at Kentucky. Jamon Dumas Johnson, I think he's going to be who he is. You know, I mean, he's got his faults. Not necessarily a high motor guy all the time, and kind of, you know, wears down a little bit. Doesn't really run sideline to sideline as well as, you know, other guys that he played with. But man, he makes a lot of plays, and he's probably going to come on a blitz or a delay at some point, make a tackle for a loss, get a sack. That's just who he is. He's going to make some plays, and he's not going to get to some others. And I think Georgia will find a way probably to try and match him up in coverage. I mean, listen, man, Trevor Etienne against Jamon Dumas Johnson or Nate Frazier against Jamon Dumas Johnson in the passing game is a big mismatch, and I think Georgia should probably, you know, have some things in there to make that happen. It's one of those deals where, you know, knowing their linebackers and kind of knowing how they play defense, I almost, you know, think that you're going to see a lot of soft zone from Kentucky in some situations where Georgia's got to throw the ball, but attacking style stuff on early downs that maybe try to get the ball out quick.
Yeah, I'm interested to see it. Just because they've got obvious Georgia ties, and there's a lot of respect for those two in the building in Athens and everything that they brought to this program. Jake, Brock Vandegrift brought you back from the Masters.
He did.
You did have a conversation with him that day.
Yeah, well, I mean, we talked. We talked to him on the thing at a press conference, but that's it.
Yeah. So, obviously an interesting matchup there, and that's been one that has been circled for a while, I would imagine, on Georgia fronts, on Kentucky fronts, and from those two individually. And, I did a little bit of reading on what those two guys had to say, and, they seem pretty even keeled about the matchup, after the game is when emotions might kick in, but beforehand and during the game, it's just football to them. And, you know, you can say that. I don't know how they'll be feeling. I would imagine that there's some nerves and some desire to go out and play really well and maybe, you know, prove Georgia wrong. In both those situations, and I wrote about this a little bit this week, I think both parties are better off for the separation. You know, Brock getting an opportunity as opposed to waiting around. Jamon, Georgia's linebacker room is great. Jamon was going to maybe take on a little bit lesser of a role this year, and instead he's got an opportunity to go prove himself to be an NFL caliber linebacker at Kentucky.
Yeah, that snap count was going down. That's kind of just all there is to it. And it sucks that people kind of, I feel like sometimes there's this
it's revisionist history.
Well, it's not really revisionist history. It's just kind of this rush to say, okay, you're not with us, you weren't any good. And I guess that maybe that is revisionist history. It feels like something different, but it's just, I don't know, man. It's just so quick to kind of listen. I know he had his faults. Like, I mean, you know, I don't know that there have been all that many, you know, Georgia players where they kind of came through and you were like, they didn't have any sort of rocky times. I mean, you know, Trayvon Walker didn't do a whole lot as a sophomore. Jalen Carter, had his injury stuff and had a really good career at Georgia. I don't think anybody ever really got down on him. But there are a few guys that, you know, Ladd McConkey even kind of went through some stuff. We know how beloved he was. Brock Bowers did not. But I think that no player is perfect, but Jamon Dumas Johnson made so many plays for Georgia in the first half of that 2022 season. I think I remember him playing – I think it was the Missouri game where Georgia – I think he had a couple of plays that wouldn't have necessarily maybe shown up on the stat sheet, but were real big plays against Missouri in that game that kind of helped Georgia hold them where they were or get red zone stops and be able to come back and win that game in 2022. But it's hard to watch, kind of these guys move on for fans. I get it. But at the end of the day, this was something that, like you pointed out, was so much better for Georgia, and so much better for Jamon, just simply because he doesn't have to explain to NFL teams, all right, this is why my snap count went from 34 a game to 27 a game to 21 a game or to 20 a game. It's because, I was kind of regressing. And honestly, it was maybe best for him to get on the field. Maybe, we'll see. How did it affect his conditioning? Did he go to Kentucky and get in really good shape and get himself to the point where he can do that? Because that's kind of been the flaw with him. But, I think he's made some plays. He had an interception in week one and then a tackle and a half for loss last week. So he's a really good player. And I think Georgia's, going to probably target him in the ways that they know that they can try and get after him. That's what game plans are about. And we'll see how he responds to it.
Well, Jake, speaking of really good players, Georgia's got a really good recruiting class, and your first way to get a glimpse at them, NFHS Network.
That's right, man. NFHS Network is tremendous. I use it all the time. It is the best way to see Georgia commits, Georgia targets. Listen, you don't even have to – our realm takes you into high school football more than anything else, but we know that a lot of our listeners have – kids that play other sports, or they have relatives that can play other sports. You can watch volleyball, you can watch softball, you can watch all sorts of sports on NFHS. Stuff's on there all the time. You look up a high school. It was crazy the other day. I looked up a high school to try and see if they had a replay of a Georgia commit. I searched the high school, and there were like four live events that night because they had all those things, televised. And it's tremendous. It's how I spend my Friday night. I get it on one screen and get some sports on another screen, and I make it happen. It's awesome. Palmer, what's the promo code here for these guys?
Let me look it up. And
it's a little different than the others, and it's one that's kind of been tough to run down. For us, we've had a little trouble with that. We apologize to NFHS. But over at Dogs HQ later today, there will be a free story if you want to come on over, and it'll show you what Georgia commitments are playing on NFHS tonight and tomorrow night, Saturday night as well. Me and Rusty have joked about it, but I watched JJ Hand play on Saturday night here the other night about 11 o'clock over on the West Coast. So, there will be a story up and you'll have all of that.
Is Go Dogs 25, GODAWGS 25, works for 25% off your first month.
Yeah. So you get a little bit of a break there. I highly advise you to go check it out if you like to watch football. It is, just flipping around on a Friday night, looking at different games, if you played high school football or you followed high school football at all at one point, or you can just go to On 300 and look down there and search those different schools and see who you can watch from those top prospects. It's just a cool thing to be able to do. Supports a good cause because these guys are giving athletes exposure and giving these high school athletes a chance to kind of play for relatives across the country. And it's a phenomenal company. We've enjoyed working with them. All right, Palmer, let's predict some this
interesting
thing.
Games, Jake. I mean, Blessed
yeah.
Trinity.
Oh, Milton. Yeah, who we got? Yeah, let's promote some.
Blessed Trinity Milton's a really good one. Westlake Roswell, that's got a Georgia commit in there. We had up earlier, North Oconee was on here. Obviously, they've got a Georgia commit.
Yeah, North Oconee plays on there seemingly.
They were playing Jefferson. Yeah.
I will warn you, though, if you want to go watch Talon Taylor play over at Geneva Community, wherever he's been playing lately, the camera has been down. And because I've tried to watch him two straight Friday nights, and I have failed two straight Friday nights. But don't worry. He has, 10 catches for 250-something yards and like 5-6 touchdowns already.
Hey, so this is a dude's matchup right here. Gainesville and Carrollton.
Yeah, a lot of guys. A lot of Georgia targets in there. Xavier Griffin, who's committed to USC in the 2026 class, is in there. Georgia's still heavy on him. Valus Jones over at Carrollton's a guy that Georgia's recruiting really hard. You know, that's definitely one where you can find a lot of good football players in it. Are you just in the state of Georgia right there?
Yeah, I'm just in the state of Georgia right now. I believe if you keep scrolling, I got down here. Stick with me. This shows you how many games there are.
Okay.
That was
nice.
That was
interesting. Yeah, so go check out NFHS. NFHSnetwork.com, I think it is. Yeah, NFHSnetwork.com. And use that promo code GODAWGS25, GODAWGS25. Get 25% off your first month. And you can watch all high school football you can handle. Palmer, let's predict this thing. Let's send these folks out with what we think is going to happen on Saturday. What you got?
Man, so the line has moved a little bit in favor of Georgia. You know, it was, I believe, before last week, I believe it was like 20.5, 18.5, something like that. And it's now, it opened this week at 23.5. And last I checked, it was up to 24.5. You know, I would imagine it's going to stick right around that 24 number, probably bounce between the 23.5 and 24.5. It basically comes down to, do you think Georgia can win this game by 24 points or not? And to me, I don't know. I really don't know, Jake, because
that's a lot on the road, man.
That's a lot on the road.
And we've talked about something, like just, you know, walking out of a stadium, talking about it. SEC on the road against a team that just lost is a tough deal.
It's wounded dog theory. It's a wounded cat theory this week. Yeah. But no, I mean, and Georgia has never really, I mean, in the last few trips up there, Georgia hasn't blown Kentucky out of the waters and I think what's maybe.
It really didn't even, I mean, it jumped out to a quick lead in 2018, but really didn't like try, you know, started to kind of pull away late. I mean, I know that game was never in question. I don't remember that just being a runaway from the jump. I just remember being like, okay, Georgia's got it.
No, the final score there was 34-17. So, you know, based off of a, 24-point line, Georgia would not win that one.
Yeah, I think Kentucky scored a couple late in that one, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Georgia was up 14-3, and then I think they – yeah, Georgia climbed out to 28-3 in the third quarter. But, yeah, it took until kind of the second half before Georgia really ran away with that football
game. But I guess my point is you look at these games, and outside of last year's where Georgia just jumped on them so early, Carson Beck threw for 4 touchdowns, and that one really was a blowout from start to finish. These games tend to be a little bit closer. My gut feeling is that Georgia probably doesn't cover the spread. Am I going to stick with that? Who knows? We will have our official predictions in over at Dogs HQ later this week on Friday while we're making the trip up there. But, my gut says Georgia doesn't cover 24.5. That's just a lot of points. But I could see it. I bet you Georgia wins this game. Right now, I would say Georgia wins this game by somewhere between 17 and 21 points.
Okay. I like that. I'm not going to pick Georgia to cover either, and I am going to give a point spread. Like I said, I think Georgia's going to have some success offensively. I really do. But I also kind of get the feeling, and I listen, it's not going to feel this way on Twitter or Facebook or the Dogs HQ dog walk, okay? But I think this is a game that's going to benefit Georgia down the line a lot, because I think Georgia's going to face some adversity in this game. You know, interception, muff punt, something. I think Georgia's going to face some adversity in this game at some point. And, I like Georgia to win. I think Georgia's going to win 31-10 is going to be my pick. And I think Kentucky's going to get a touchdown off of an early Georgia turnover, an early Georgia mistake. And listen, I don't know how it's going to come. And maybe Kirby Smart goes for it on fourth down when he shouldn't or something. They're going to get some field position. They're going to get a score. everybody's going to lose their minds. Number one team in the country, my ass. Like, that's kind of going to be the thing. And then Georgia's going to overcome it. They're going to win comfortably. And by the time, you know, we get to the Alabama game, fans will have themselves talked into Georgia beating Alabama to death. And then there'll be another cycle there, Palmer. I don't know if you know this or not. There'll be another cycle there that when Georgia fans expect to beat Alabama to death and then they don't beat Alabama to death, or it's a struggle, or there's not a lot of points scored, then it's going to be time to fire Mike Bobo, readjust the coaching staff, but they'll be fine by the next Saturday. So we love you guys.
It sounds like
you've amazing, and it's a lot of fun to talk with you about all of this stuff. You guys are a blast.
It sounds like you've experienced this before, Jake.
No, a time or two.
Hey, we've got a prediction in our comments.
Yes, let's see it.
27-3.
I kind of like that one too. I really do kind of. I like that kind of that area of, you know, like 27-35, and, you know, for Kentucky 0-10.
Kyle Johnson says Bama game is Bobo redemption. David Williams 38-10.
David Williams going with what feels like a late game broken run by maybe Trevor Etienne trying to put the game away, trying to salt out the clock. And somebody pops a run loose and maybe gives Georgia the backdoor cover. That's not a bad call, man. I like it.
No. So,
but listen, I do want to say this to the Georgia fans out there. I would not do anything else in the entire world than experience this with you guys and going through it. It is so much fun. But listen, some of the patterns are definitely predictable. And hey, if you weren't fired up about it, you wouldn't be watching us. You wouldn't be listening to us, reading us, all that stuff. So we definitely.
Hey, Jake, if fans that are watching this want to get in our game threads with you, get down and dirty in the game threads.
I don't get dirty in the game threads, Palmer. I don't know. You need to go calm down somewhere.
How can they join?
Well, this ain't Instagram Live. We don't get dirty here. So, yeah, man, just come on over to Dogs HQ, get on the dog walk. There'll be a game thread started about 2 hours before the game. I will not be in Lexington this week. Palmer is doing this one solo. He's taking care of it himself. I'm gonna hang back, and Rusty and I are gonna do the post game show. But you can get in that game thread, and you know, we can give each other the what for. Anything kind of goes in those. It's no holds barred, cage match. Call it what you want. What you will see in there though is you will see a lot of people getting criticized. A lot of people getting criticized. Even people criticizing get criticized. And it's a lot of fun. We have fun in those game threads, man. They are absolutely wild. And listen, Rusty and I will be back with you as soon as this game is over on Saturday to discuss it. And then we'll be back with you again on Sunday to talk about, you know, kind of our second thoughts on everything. And hopefully Palmer will be back by then. May have some content up for us to kind of peruse, and we'll cover all the news and notes. But for this episode of the Georgia Show and the last before Georgia opens SEC play, we love you. Take care.